Good afternoon, Portland City Council. Will come to order. Today is Wednesday, June 27th, 2012. It's 2 p.m. Hi, Carla. How are you?
Hello. I'm well.
It looks like we have summer upon us. Can you please read the title for... Oops. Today is Thursday, June 28th, 2012, 2 p.m. Can you please read the title for 786 and 787?
Do a roll call?
After you do the roll call. Thanks.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. Can you please read report item number 786?
Accept report on the Office of Equity and Human Rights first 90 days. 787. Did you want to read?
We'll do that after this one. Thank you.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. It is my joy and pleasure and honor to introduce this report on the first 90 days of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. Invite Director Dante James up to give us that report. I promised when we established the office in September of 2011 that we would come back with a six-month report, which we did at the end of March, which was just 2 weeks after Dante James joined us as the director. And at that time, I said that before the end of the fiscal year, I would come back to council again and to the community with a report on his progress and our progress as a joint community working on equity and human rights after 90 days. So this hearing is starting with that report. Director Dante James.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. I appreciate the opportunity to come and offer some thoughts and a snapshot of what I think are the successes of the office for the first 90 days. Actually, I've been here 103 days, so, but I'm not counting. I believe that there's have been some excellent successes as I continue to learn and maneuver my way around within the city bureaucracy and the city government, and I've been very, very appreciative of the support that I've garnered and the office has garnered throughout the city. And also in conjunction with the presentation this afternoon, I'm also here along with the Commission on Disability to request council to accept and support the resolution on the planning of captioning plan for media produced by the city. So this presentation also is the first part of what will be a larger presentation on equity that will be presented next month. And that will include a presentation of our one-year work plan, as well as reports and resolutions from the contracting department and the mayor's office on the Minority Evaluator Program, contracting strategies on minority women and emerging small businesses, as well as a look at some of the bureau demographics. And so as I begin the report on the 90 days, if you will, I first want to give thanks to a few people who have been very instrumental in my initial time here and in getting the office up and running smoothly. Obviously, Commissioner Fritz for her support and trust. The many bureau directors who have offered their time and support for the work of the office. My staff who are present here this afternoon for their support in the beginning this new phase of the work. All of the folks in housing, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for being gracious and allowing us to be good neighbors. Jack Graham for his assistance on the big picture of the city. Kezia Warner in the budget office for really helping me untangle the numbers as I came during the end of the budget process. Kathleen Sadat in Human Resources for just being a phenomenal wealth of information and the strength that she has and brings to the city and has brought to the city over the many years. Celia Heron at OMF for really helping me with metrics, as the mayor appreciates, I know. Alfonso Moore and Diane Avery in Human Resources for really helping with a lot of the staffing as I, again, maneuver my way through the human resources bureaucracy of trying to make changes and adjustments in hiring of new staff. So truly to highlight some of the items, hopefully you have a document in front of you that outlines some of the accomplishments in 90 days. We've really been building on the work of the prior office and have been shifting from an external focus to an internal office, external to an internal focus, working with bureaus individually to offer technical support and education. The police bureau, we've been working to work with them on training some of their officers, Officer Jim Quackenbush specifically, and Stacy Dunn. Neither can be here this afternoon, but certainly send their regrets and said they wish they could be here to speak to you about the work that we've done together in putting together some trainings for their officers. Also, I just the other day met with the command staff and actually Seattle's office came down and some of the police officers from Seattle came down. And you'll hear next week or 2 weeks from now from the Human Rights Commission as they've been working to work with the command staff here in the police bureau on training of the officers and trying to work some things a little bit differently. Working with the contracting office, obviously with the minority women-owned businesses as well as the emerging small businesses, and Christine Moody is here this afternoon, and you'll hear from her in a bit. Working with the planning and sustainability office, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, on the PEGs, the policy expert groups, for the comprehensive plan. And that's been an excellent opportunity to really infuse equity in how this city is going to look in the next 25 years. I had an excellent meeting this morning with planning and looking at ways to structurally put equity in within the pegs as opposed to one peg, the next peg, the next peg. Are they individually doing what the Portland plan speaks of, but how would we put that in structurally so that we can have an important and complete impact for the best and most efficient way to do it? In my 90 days here, I've continued to hear a particular refrain that I want to address, and that is that, you know, Portland is one of the whitest big cities, if not the whitest big city on the West Coast, and Oregon is just a very white city. And so I truly needed to go look and see what that meant. And so what I want to do is very quickly read you a list of states. And the states are Kansas, Wyoming, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Utah, Idaho, Minnesota, Iowa, Kentucky, Indiana, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Vermont, and New Hampshire. And all of those states have less population by percentage of people of color than does Oregon. Multnomah County is 27% people of color. So when the conversation is that we just don't have the demographics to do something differently, I would argue that's not true. And that's a narrative I think we need to recognize that we need to change, or at least speak to differently. Because it's not that the demographics are changing, the demographics have changed. And continuing to use the narrative that I just expressed is a crutch for why things can't change. And if we don't address the need to change that narrative, we always have the crutch to fall back on. In speaking with some of the members of the bureaus who do hiring, or even some of the bureau directors, through no casting no aspersions on their intentions, you know, when I speak to them about hiring and diversity, a lot of times I've heard, just around the city and generally, that, you know, we put out the applications and the request, and we just can't get people of color to apply, or we don't get people of color to apply. And my response is that's a 20-year-old answer. If we want to do something differently, then we have to do something differently and think about it differently. Or the other refrain is, you know, we just don't really, we're not concerned about color. We just want the best person for the job. And again, that one, it's not mutually exclusive to get the best person for the job and the person of color. But again, that's a 20-year-old answer. We really have to do something differently, do outreach differently, have an expectation that the people we hire will come from the broadest breadth of who can apply and who we have in the city of Portland. And so my vision for the office is a city where my office isn't needed. Quite honestly, I would love to work myself out of a job. Because equity and fairness happens just like recycling does, or just like the idea of sustainability does, or just like public involvement happens. I know it took some time for the Bureau of Sustainability to be up and accepted, and now it's merged with planning, and now it is the powerhouse that it is. Recycling, you know, was, I'm sure, a painful process to implement, and people didn't understand it, didn't want to do it. I've gotten a few notices myself because I put the wrong thing in the wrong barrel, so I'm still trying to figure it out. And so it sometimes is a painful process, but it's a process. And as I've learned, the city loves process, so let's embrace the process. And so it is a continuing work. But until equity becomes as infused as public involvement, then it will always be an add-on as opposed to the ingrained part of how we do business. And I would suggest that the work can't be done without leadership, and that leadership comes from you. And I would ask each of you specifically to reiterate or state for the first time to your bureau directors, your senior staff, the people that listen to you in the city and in city employment and not, that achieving equity requires doing something differently and that it's important, because the importance comes from the top down. And it requires consciously doing something differently, looking at things differently, looking at who's involved in hiring, firing decisions, looking at how we think about how the services that we provide are in fact provided, all of those things. Considering whether we have internal biases that are reflected in our work. And since we all have internal biases, how do those manifest in our policies and our procedures? And so I ask for your leadership in that. And in closing my initial remarks, I just want to, again, refer you to this document. I think it lays out some of the successes that we've had, some of the community-oriented work, all the meetings that I've had with many, many people and organizations within the community. I am pleasantly empowered and surprised by everyone's appreciation and respect for the city of Portland having put this office in place. And I hope you hear that, because they credit you for putting this office in place and bringing this office to the forefront and bringing equity to the discussion. And so I'll be returning in just a couple of weeks to bring the work plan together, to bring the work plan to you, as I said. And there will be maybe some specific asks for you as heads of the portfolios that you have. The difficult part, as you know, is a citywide initiative because of the way that the city is structured and the silos that exist. I must say that I have been wonderfully accepted by all the bureau directors who have said they want to do equity better, and they want assistance in how to do that. And so that is the goal, that is the mission, and I don't like to lose, and I usually don't, so I expect that we will make this process work, and it already is, and I thank you and all of your staff for helping in that process. If you have any questions?
Well, are we voting on the presentation?
We have a panel also who.
Yes. Okay.
Could we have the panelists come up?
So I've got I might have to step out early, but I wanted to say, Director James, how impressed I am with how fast and with a great amount of agility you've hit the road. Hit the ground running, and how much I appreciate the efforts that you've made to reach out into the community and also to reach out internally. This is a city that values process. There's no question about it, and you absolutely have to embrace it, if not express frustrations with it from time to time as well. We all do, but I really appreciate all the extra effort that you've made, and I want to underscore my thanks for the leadership of Amanda Fritz, Starting up a bureau from scratch is hard work, and so I appreciate your leadership and the team effort that you brought to this. So thank you.
Thank you.
So if I get up and leave, it's because I have a conflict.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll let you go first, just if you'd introduce yourself. And
hello, I'm LaVon Heaster, and I'm on the Portland Commission on Disabilities. And the Portland Commission on Disabilities has been very pleased with the Office of Equity and the work and the progress it's made in such a short time. Many of us joined the commission because we wanted to make equity, inclusion, and diversity conversations more inclusive of people with disabilities here in Portland. And so I think that we have been very much embraced by Dante and the staff in the Office of Equity and Human Rights. We have worked together to have our staff person elevated so that he has now become a program manager and can go out and do the work effectively. We have worked together on the closed captioning resolution, which you will be hearing in just a little while, and that's really exciting because it's really painful to be left out on a very regular basis, and we have community members that are. And so expanding, by working together, we are really expanding how other people see disability, but also we're looking at the work we're doing on the commission, and we're beginning to expand it because of our connections being built in the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And one of the things that is also becoming louder and louder I hear within our community is really recognizing that for disability, people with disabilities, oftentimes it is an issue of human rights, and that is not always seen. It's always seen as a disability issue rather than an issue of human rights. And so being put in this office has been wonderful, and we're really happy for the support and the structure that is helping us to move forward with our work and expand the work.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Good afternoon. My name is Mitch Purcell, and I'm Director of Advocacy and Public Policy for the Urban League of Portland. And on behalf of the Urban League, I would like to welcome and acknowledge the accomplishments of the first 90 days of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. In particular, I would like to thank Director Dante James and his staff, and you, Commissioner Fritz, for continuing the collaborative and inclusive process of working with community members and city staff who are deeply, deeply invested in ensuring that equity is integrated in the way we do business as a city. We recognize it's been no easy feat to bring together the strands of this work, again, acknowledging the task that Director James had when he came to Portland, while at the same time building the organization of the office itself. Again, no easy feat given the diversity of groups and functions that this newly created, newly combined office oversees, and currently with fairly limited resources. And we look forward to that changing. The Portland Plan Equity Framework set a clear goal to achieve a city where opportunity and achievement is a reality for all Portlanders, and to address the disparities that was set out in our State of Black Oregon report and in the Coalition of Communities of Color report. And so in this first 90 days, Dante and his staff began to set up the structure to begin the first steps to achieve the goals in the Portland Plan. And we really understand that it is the first steps of a long journey. Just as, and I'll make the same analogy that Dante made, just as it's taken time to develop a commitment and understanding and mechanisms to integrate sustainability as a core value in the city of Portland, a core value in everything that the city does to fully institutionalize equity will also take time and resources and expertise that we are confident that the office and its community partners can bring. That's why we support the creation of a citywide equity strategy to begin to build that shared commitment and shared understanding and direction of how and why we have to do this work. I think the office acknowledges that a lot of staff in the city will need support to understand what equity actually looks like in their work. I'm sure people will say, well, how the heck do I do things differently when I'm deciding where to place a water pipe? And that equity means more than hiring and contracting, even though these are important components. So we have the vision, which is why I think the training piece that Dante mentioned is really, really important, and we're really looking forward to supporting training and the capacity to ensure that the city can do this work. So we have a vision, and we're confident that the office will continue to be an investment in how we get there, to ensure that decisions of where we invest, how services and programs are delivered, and how we involve our communities, and how success is measured, has racial equity and disability at their core. So we welcome the first 90 days, and we look forward to continuing to work to advance this important task that the office has before it. Thank you
for your partnership.
Christine Moody, I'm the Chief Procurement Officer here at the City of Portland. As Council knows, in 2009, we conducted a disparity study for city contracting. And since Dante has been on board, I have been trying to get him up to speed on the last 3 years' worth of work, which he has taken a hold of and very comprehensively is understanding what we've been working on and what we have been working on with the community over the last year as far as contracting initiatives. And Dante has some very good ideas. There were some things that from his background that he can bring forward to us here at the city, coming from a different area, that I think are good things that we can take to move forward with and work with on our city contracting, in addition to some other things that we've been working on over the last year. And actually, these things will be coming before City Council in the next couple of weeks. We will be making recommendations on Bureau's process improvements and increasing opportunities for MWSB businesses in the areas of construction and professional services. And Dante and his staff have offered support to myself and my procurement services staff in speaking with community members about these upcoming changes and policy changes. And I appreciate his support and the office's support in all that we do as far as equity and contracting.
Thank you very much. So, colleagues, you may notice that a lot of what we're reporting today is come back in 2 weeks on July 11th. I work hard to make this process transparent, and since I did promise that we would come back before the end of the fiscal year, that's why we're doing this report today. But there is more to come, and in fact, many more things to come over the next several months. So we hope that we're leaving you with eager to find out more. Thank you, panelists. And if there's anybody who'd like to testify at this time.
Carla, do we have anyone who's signed up, Carla?
No one else signed up.
Is there anyone in the chamber that would like to be heard?
Do you have a final thought for us?
Final thoughts are that I just truly appreciate, the opportunity to come and continue to keep you apprised of how we're doing, what we're doing, and how well we're doing what we're doing, and request your input and support and suggestions at any time. From the feedback that you probably hear that I don't hear, I would love to hear all of the suggestions, critiques, comments that you may hear about how well we're doing what we're doing.
We have one person who signed up to testify.
Can I just add one thing?
Please.
You know, for government work, these reports are impossibly concise. So. Keep it up.
Thank you.
This is not our standard for reports, believe me. So
I will have it linked from my website by the end of the afternoon.
Mr. King.
My name is Promise King. I'm the executive director of Oregon League of Minority Voters. I have been following the process. First of all, let me thank some of you who have demonstrated by example that equity matters, that inclusion matters, that diversity matters. All of you commissioner in front of us have staff and bureaus that are diverse, and you made that effort intentional. I here today to really ask you more favor. Helping to create this effort is fine, but I want you to demand a greater accountability of the process. And that accountability carries a lot of responsibility. Number one, you must ensure that your will is present when this conversation and dialogue are taking place. What do I mean by that? We don't lack people who understand this process. What we lack is the political will. I know inside the effort of Commissioner Friends behind the scene in trying to move this effort forward. Now we're here. We have a structure. We have a vision. I'm begging you to demand greater accountability. Ask questions. Because equity is not just a fancy word. It's a structural adjustment of current systems to accommodate and create opportunity for inclusion and diversity. So get that in mind, that equity is not just a fancy word. It is a structural adjustment of systems that are still abhor inequities. For instance, Office of Sustainability has done a great job. We admire that. We want that template to be about also around equity. If the city is trying to purchase something today, it has to go through the lens of sustainability, even if it's a pencil. I am asking that if the city want to take any step, it also ought to pass through the lens of equity. That is the only way we can get to the point where we're going. Because like my former boss said, this should not turn to a kumbaya. I agree with you, Dan, when you make that statement. But we require your effort, your will, your examples, your office, your pronouncement, and your statements. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a report. Do I have a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Is there a second? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Well, good job. As I said a minute ago, keep up these nice brief reports. They're very impressive in of themselves for that. But good work, and I look forward to the more thorough reports in the coming weeks.
Thanks, sir.
And thanks, Commissioner Fritz, too. Hi.
Leonard?
It is challenging to begin a whole new process and a whole new bureau. Amanda, you've done a great job setting this up. I am impressed. I like what I hear so far, and I look forward to hearing more. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fritz.
Thanks to Dante for his work over the last 3 months and to his staff and the community. We're all part of this effort, and I appreciate the way my colleagues have embraced each one of our responsibility to make this work. As I said in September, we cannot fail this time. We will not fail this time, and I appreciate everyone's dedication to making sure that this is the effort that actually gets us to achieving equity in Portland. Aye.
Fish.
Well, first I want to thank Commissioner Fritz and the mayor in absentia. We would not be here today. We would not have an Office of Equity if Amanda had not championed this. So I'm grateful for that. And Director James, it's been a pleasure to get to know you. You're a breath of fresh air. In fact, I thought I knew you until I was at the CIO dinner the other night and you told your story. And you've been here less than 100 days and you already gave the keynote at a very prominent community event. And speaking on behalf of the housing family here, we're honored to have your office in our space. And we're honored, and we think there's great synergies that will happen when these two great bureaus work together day to day. So thank you for your report, and we look forward to the follow-up later next month. Aye. Report is adopted. Thank you. Carla, would you read the next item, please?
787. Develop an implementation plan for open captioning of all media produced by the City of Portland and presented on the city's website or public access channels.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, President Fish. We are not only talk and planning and strategizing, we are implementing full speed ahead. And in particular, we're implementing a partnership with the Portland Commission on Disability. This is the second ordinance that the Commission has suggested or requested that we bring forward in partnership with them. So I'm very proud to be the office which is partnering with the Commission on Disability and also the Human Rights Commission. Thank you all for being here today, and thank you to Carol Studeman, who is volunteering today to provide captioning in council chambers. When you watch the City Council at home on Channel 30, the captioning is available. When you watch in City Council chambers, it isn't yet, but Carla and the facility staff are working diligently on providing open captioning in City Council chambers. We're also working on providing a loop that allows hearing impaired people with cochlear implants to be able to hear better in City Council chambers. And we've made several other accommodations within the council chambers for people with mobility disabilities over the past year. Those are all very visible ways or experiential ways that the Office of Equity is moving forward with its equity agenda. Director Jente James.
Thank you, Commissioner, and Commissioners. Again, it's my pleasure to bring these members of the Commission on Disability, excuse me, before you, to speak on a second resolution that we're bringing in a very short time that not only affects the communities with disability, but affects everyone in a positive approach, in a positive manner. And so we are here, my office is here, to support this resolution. We'll be working in conjunction with the Bureau of Technology Services and the public information officers to ensure that this rolls out in the best and most efficient way possible. And so this is designed to be a plan to begin looking at how to implement this. And so in the coming months, we will be working on the best and most effective way to do this, the most cost-effective way to do this, and the best way for the communities that are in need of this service to do this. And so that said, I would ask the members of the commission to introduce themselves and offer their thoughts on this resolution.
I'm Jules Harris, Vice Chair of the Portland Commission on Disability, and first I want to applaud all the efforts, again, of the Office of Equity and Human Rights and Commissioner Amanda Fritz, how much support the Portland Commission on Disability has had. It's interesting that it's been over 20 years since the passing of the Americans with Disabilities Act in 1990. And everything is a process, as you said. And I think that this is part of the process that is long overdue. That is no, it is not right nor okay to exclude anyone. To not be included feels really crummy, frankly. And I think this is a very appropriate step, and we look forward to working with the Office of Equity and Human Rights on implementation of this resolution.
Good afternoon. I'm going to read my notes to help me remember what I would like to say. My name is Steve Brown, and I'm the commissioner for the Portland Commission for Disabilities, and I want to share my story about with the resolution. I support the resolution. And I want to thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your support. And thank Commissioner James for your support as well. And I'm glad to be here. I hope that you all are supportive of this resolution, and I'll share my story. So as a deaf person, you know, of course I can't hear and I can't talk, but I can read. So closed captioning saves my life. Truly it does. So because I can't hear, I need to know what is going on, and closed captioning being available does help that. But, you know, one of the problems is accessibility to, you know, captioning online. when you're watching the television, it kind of, you know, it can be a slow process. So online is a lot quicker. So I hope that you guys can help relieve that barrier and provide access online, captioning online. So this morning, an example, I was watching Supreme Court. They decided that healthcare is to be implemented, and it is constitutional. So it's a great accomplishment. I'm really happy that President Obama has started to implement that. But this morning, while he was speaking, I was looking at the internet, you know, on my iPhone, and there was no closed captioning. So I missed the whole thing. I wasn't able to experience the excitement, you know, that everyone else was. And so a few hours later, this afternoon, I read the transcript online from the White House, their website, and it was a different experience. I wanted to see the facial expressions that went along with what President Obama said, the emotions that were attached to what he was actually saying. So, you know, that's a challenge for me. Closed captioning is very important. It's not just for the TV. You know, that's kind of outdated technology nowadays. We want quick access to information. Here in Portland, I worked in the city several, you know, a few years ago, and I took a training, and there were videotapes without closed captioning. And it was one of the trainings was about sexual harassment policies. I had no idea, you know, what was saying, and I was given a transcript. So it's not really the same experience at all, me reading a transcript and then signing, you know, that I understood what was said in the video. So I would like Portland to provide captioning for educational workshops and trainings. And also for emergency reasons, I would like you to provide captioning for emergency broadcasts so that we can have access to that information. So that's just a few examples. And I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I really look forward to working with you. And if you have any questions, I'll go ahead and take those now.
Questions from the council members?
Commissioner, I love your example.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz, do we have other testimony?
Not invited testimony. There may be others who signed up.
We have 6 people who signed up.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
The first 3, please come on up, are David Veers, Michael Marino, and John Waldo.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You all take a seat. Each of you will have 3 minutes, and all we need is your name for the record. And, sir, would you like to kick us off?
I'm John Waldo.
Go ahead.
I'm John Waldo. I live at 2345 Quimby in Portland, and I'm one of the approximately 50,000 Portlanders with a hearing loss of such a degree that it materially interferes with my ability to understand what's being said. I'm also a lawyer, and my legal practice concentrates on ensuring that the promises of state and federal disability laws actually are carried out in practice. Now, even though I live in Portland, I don't practice in Oregon. I practice in Washington and California. The reason I don't practice here is that, fortunately, I haven't had to. That people in Oregon have been so gracious at understanding our needs and our issues and have gone out of their way to try to accommodate those problems. This resolution indicates to me that the city of Portland is certainly very much on track to do the same thing. As the resolution recognizes, the Americans with Disabilities Act, Title II, requires government entities like the City of Portland to make all of their programs, services, and activities accessible to people with sensory disabilities. Captioning is certainly the best way to do that, along with some of the other measures that Commissioner Fritz has pointed out. But captioning is kind of the one that blankets the waterfront and will cover those of us no matter what our degree of hearing loss is concerned. I suppose in the best of all possible worlds, we'd simply wave a magic wand and automatically everything you do and put on the internet would be captioned automatically. But we know that in real life, both time and money are in finite supply, and therefore we have to prioritize what to do first and what to do later. The University of Oregon worked out a very interesting approach that I would commend the City of Portland to consider. That is, you look at the things that are big deals, that is, council meetings, that sort of thing. In the case of the university, football and basketball games, automatically caption those. Other things, though, you caption on request. I think that that might be a useful approach, that if you budgeted a certain sum of money to do captioning in a given year, don't dedicate that all to specific things, but leave a certain pool of money out there so that if requests come along for other things, you never find yourself in a position where you have to say no. One thing I like to remind myself is that 40 years ago, nobody thought about providing wheelchair access. It just didn't happen. Now nobody thinks about it. It just happens automatically. We are in this situation where we're beginning to think about providing access for people with hearing impairments. I'm hoping that it won't take us 40 years before we stop thinking about it and just do it. Given this resolution, it's obvious to me that you all are on the right track, and I thank you very much for that.
Thank you, sir. Welcome.
He's indicating you should go next.
Michael Marino. On the surface of it, there's the matter of it being a good thing to do, being charitable to some extent, although there's a cost involved, that it helps people that can't hear, but it gets a little deeper than that. The next level of depth is that people who have the right to know what you're saying because you're people in the government. ORS 192 might not spell that out, but that's in the same spirit, that the people of the, that the common citizens should be able to know what is being said by their representatives. A level deeper than that, if we go there, is that a lot of people who are disabled in some way, partially deaf as I am, or people who are disabled in other ways, can't do a full-time job anymore, perhaps, but they do if they can, and if they are so inclined, continue to volunteer work for their community, including them in conversations, in discussions, in presentations, by using real-time captioning for, in the case of people who are deaf or hard of hearing, is one way that you enable a large number of people who are intentioned to help the community by volunteering to do just that. That means that there's a return. However much money this costs, it comes back to you in the form of people that you'll be enabling to do the volunteer work that they would like to do. And as an example of the only thing that comes to mind, there was this city council, not the individuals here, I think there was some of your predecessors, gave a legislator an award for a bill that she called. That was a Val Gordley after she retired from the Senate. And it was the bill for which she got an award was one that removes the remaining white supremacist language from the Oregon Constitution. One thing that I noticed in the Tribune article about it was it didn't mention where she got it. I wrote the first draft, although many of the ideas that I might work on might be of no value or of little value. Sometimes they do get taken up and they do turn out to be a success.
Sir, thank you very much for your testimony. Welcome.
My name is David Veers. I've been involved with the hard of hearing and deaf communities within the state of Oregon for probably over 25 years. Right now, I'm on the Hearing Loss Association of Portland's chapter. The State Association, Hearing Loss Association of Oregon, and I'm currently the president of the Oregon Communication Access Program. That last organization is focused primarily upon advocating for captioning to be provided. So I have a history in that area and a keen interest in it, and I want to commend this organization for bringing forth this resolution, and I hope it passes. The only concern I have with regard to that is that it's looking at the cost rather than actually saying, let's go ahead and do it. But I understand that sometimes we have to do first things first, and addressing the most efficient way to do something is a first step. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you. And just to clarify on that, the resolution directs the staff to come back by September with an actual, this is how we're going to do it, including evaluating the costs, but definitely the intent is that we are going to do this.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Carla, would you please call the next three?
Mm-hmm. They're Mitch Purcell, Promise King, and Nicholas Johnson.
So Mr. Johnson is here. I think Promise has left, and I think Mitch already testified. So,
Welcome back. Welcome, Commissioner Johnson.
Thank you.
Well, we just need your name, sir, and you have 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Commissioner Nicholas Johnson from the Portland Commission on Disability, and I represent the commission in that way that I feel that the caption is necessary in our day and age. Since we are advancing so much in technology, there's no reason for anybody to be left behind in this day and age. With the crucial changes that our country, nation, and political streams are taking, elections rise and fall on very few votes. And considering this is an election year, it behooves us to be able to observe and take in all the information that is going that will help our nation rise together and move forward. However, there are some that wish to keep us behind. So it is up to us that have this vision to keep maintaining a forward momentum to be able to ascertain all the information, all the political waffling from some individuals, and all the bad publicity and bad records of others that affect us in our communities, that affect our schools, that affect us on the job. And so we need to have this open caption information so that we can make wise decisions in placing those that have the vision that some of you have maintained and are pioneering. You are spearheading. We need this, but we can only assist if we have update and real-time information. And to tell you the truth, peoples with disabilities do make up 16% of the Portlanders' population. But however, we also make up 14% of the registered voters. And with that being said, we have the opportunity right now, with the best information at hand that you provide, we can help and assist in carrying our city and these resolutions forward. And I hope that this takes root in your hearts and in your ears, because what you do today will affect Portlanders for years to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Amanda Fritz, a council discussion. Final word, Amanda.
Well, thank you to everybody who's come here. As was mentioned earlier, we will be bringing more action items in the coming months, including in 2 weeks' time on July 11th. And in the meantime, I'm very proud to be proposing this plan, but coming back in very short order with specifics on how we can make sure that everybody has access to the information. I want to note that this resolution was being prepared long before last week's U.S. Supreme Court decision requiring Netflix to provide captioning. And in fact, there's a couple of times that I personally have appreciated it. The University of Oregon football program was mentioned. I love it that I can look behind me to the big screen and find out who scored rather than having to ask one of my sons who it was who scored. It was unfortunate that the U.S. Olympic trials was not considered important enough to caption. But again, this is a growing process, and we do hope that we get to the point where it's done automatically, that we don't have to put so much effort into it. We're not there yet. It's a great example of actions that the Office of Equity and Human Rights is doing that make a difference today, tomorrow, and into the future.
This is a resolution. We'll take it to a vote. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Well, again, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for leading this effort, and this is a good thing. Aye.
Leonard?
I look forward to getting the report back and supporting it, and I appreciate the work Commissioner Fritz has done bringing it here. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, colleagues, for your support in this effort. Thank you to the office staff, Director James, and to the entire community for the great partnership that we have on this work. Aye.
Fish.
Great work, and thanks to the citizens who took time out of their busy lives today to join us and provide such eloquent testimony in support of this resolution. Aye. The matter passes, and we are adjourned.
I didn't know about the Netflix Supreme Court decision.